Well, thank you. Welcome. Of course, this is the audit of the Lieutenant Governor's Office. As you can see from your audit, there is only one finding in the report, and it is on the issue of the state vehicles. Of course, I wasn't able to answer any of your questions on this last time you were here. Basically, our opinion and our finding is that there is no provision in state law that allows for any use other than official use of state vehicles. So currently, the Lieutenant Governor was operating under a policy given to him by OA, which would allow him to use the vehicle for personal and political uses as long as he reimbursed. What we did as we did this audit is two things. One, we looked at the policy overall, and our conclusion is that there is no authority for that policy. And so our recommendation is that any use other than official use should be discontinued immediately. The second issue, though, of course, is what happened in the past based on this OA policy. And so we did look at the Lieutenant Governor's use of the vehicle, and we found he was in total compliance with the policy that was handed to him by OA. We calculated his use, and we found he, in fact, had overpaid. And so we, you know, tried to monitor the compliance with a policy that was not authorized. But and so I want to make sure that that I emphasize that at every point in this, Lieutenant Governor was acting within the policy that was prescribed to him by OA. So our problem in this audit and our recommendation is that there was no authority for making that policy in the first place. And so any use from now on out should be discontinued, and that the General Assembly, if they would desire for statewide elected officials to have some kind of exemption or authority to use vehicles beyond what is currently allowed in the law, need to have some statutory authority for that. And so that is the conclusion of our audit on this issue, and I'll be glad to answer questions.
If the policy wasn't allowed, that means they shouldn't have been reimbursing. So
correct.
Is it appropriate for people to now be reimbursing, or should that not occur either?
Well, here's what has happened in the past. We went back and did a look at this whole issue, and we date back all the way to 1967 under Governor Hearns, really dealing with the state airplane, and we refer to that in the finding. But through all of the administrations, there had been this, when we came in and audited use, found that there may have been some use at different times that was not official. And at that point, we would say reimburse for it as more of a restitution way of looking at it, not that it was authorized in advance, but that, in fact, personal use or political use did occur. That does not happen anymore. That is not an issue that we have seen. Actually, we haven't had any findings on use and reimbursement since the audit that involved Bill Webster. But what has happened in this particular case, this is something totally different. The Lieutenant Governor went to OA and was given the authority to do this in advance. And so it is a new policy that was put in place by OA to allow him to track personal and political use and reimburse it. The issue that has come up now with the AG's office is similar. They are now complying with what a policy that was handed down by OA that never should have been there in the first place. So the remedy, I believe, is we look back to what has been happening in the past. We ask for restitution to the state on it, and we say from this day forward, this should not be happening without a change in the law.
I want to be clear. This policy applied to all statewide office holders?
Actually, this policy was only applied to the Lieutenant Governor. Now, how that came about, I can't tell you. Our office was not aware that OA had made this policy. I don't know to what extent anyone else had asked about this policy. All I know is that we were unaware that the policy was in place and that it was being done this way until we began the audit of the Lieutenant Governor's.
The Attorney General cannot use the crutch, if you will, of this policy.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that I had never seen this policy. I don't know to what extent the Attorney General was aware of any other policies. What I can say is clearly there were policies out there or actions out there that were not in compliance with state law.
Susan, where's the, I'm trying to think now, if somebody obviously uses the state vehicle to drive from here to a vacation in Florida, that would be a problem. Suppose a state lawmaker who lives in Jeff City drives to the Capitol, goes to Lynn for dinner. Is that a violation?
Well, there are some provisions usually in the policies for some de minimis use of a state vehicle. When our auditors go out of town in the state vehicle, if one of them would have to maybe stop at the grocery store or something like that. That's not what we're talking about here. We're not talking about, a quick errand. We are talking about actually, using the vehicle for a planned personal or political purpose and reimbursing the state. And that is the policy that OA had in effect.
Was the Lieutenant Governor using it for both personal and political purposes?
I believe so, but here's what we did. The Lieutenant Governor kept a calendar. And of where he had gone, and then they took his calendar, broke out the things that were official use, and the rest of it was calculated, put on a spreadsheet, and we verified that. So yes, any use, he was allowed to use it for whatever use at that point.
As to the amount of monies involved, you indicated that the Lieutenant Governor had in fact overpaid in his reimbursement. Does the state now owe the Lieutenant Governor money?
Yes.
How much money?
It was $500-something. I think it wasn't very much.
$1,800.
$1,800. I'm sorry.
Is that number in the audit? I didn't see it.
I don't know if that's in there or not.
That's just going to be applied to credit, right?
Yes. Yes.
Is your recommendation to immediately cease private political use of state vehicles, that apply to all statewide elected officials?
Yes.
Including the governor?
No. And I want to say that the governor, I'm not going to talk about specifically about things happening in the governor's office because we're in an audit of the governor right now. The governor does have an additional statute out there that applies to him only. And so to what extent these multiple statutes that apply to the governor, I'll talk about that when we release the audit of the governor's office.
Will be an issue.
Well, we're certainly going to try to address consistency in how we think all of these laws are applied in the governor's audit. But I really can't talk about the particulars.
So a specific calculation of the amount of money was made relative to the lieutenant governor. Has a specific calculation of the appropriate amount of reimbursement money been made relative to the attorney general? And if so, was his reimbursement of $47,000? An appropriate amount.
Here is how this is done. In this case, the lieutenant governor calculated his amount, turned it into OA, and paid his amount with whatever documentation. We reviewed that as a part of doing his audit, and that's where we found that the number was incorrect. What has happened between Attorney General Nixon and OA as far as turning in the numbers to them, we are not a part of.
Do you need to go back now and make an independent evaluation of the amount of money that's appropriate for the Attorney General?
Generally, we wouldn't. We would handle that at the time that we would audit the Attorney General's office. We would look at anything that has transpired over the time. It's only been 10 months since we were in the Attorney General's office.
Have you ever used a state-owned vehicle for non-governmental purposes?
Have I? No.
But in any case, on Lieutenant Governor or Kinder or the Attorney General, mm-hmm. you're just taking their word.
Well, okay. Here's
cases, right?
Here's what we're doing. Here's what we do. And since this is the only one that we have done and looked at, the Lieutenant Governor, and when we talk about taking their word, we have their calendar. And we have on the Lieutenant Governor's calendar where he says, I was here for this and it was official business. Mm-hmm. We are not going behind his calendar and calling up someone and saying, was this official business? To the extent that the Lieutenant Governor has a calendar that says where he was, we are taking his word for
right.
his calendar.
They provide the records.
Correct.
As if there's some GPS monitor on
Correct.
The vehicle, they could drive to Memphis overnight, you'd never know, right?
That may be true. So what we're doing, though, is we are taking the calendar that has been kept, and this is what traditionally we have done in the past. When we talk about these audits of the state aircraft, the same thing was done. We looked at we knew the state aircraft was used, and we would say, what is the purpose? And they would give us the purpose. And do we go beyond that? Well, at some point, you know, you're going to take someone's word for this is where they were and what they were doing, and that's what we do. We are not calling people from the lieutenant governor's calendar. We're assuming the calendar is correct. But then what we did is we looked at assuming that the calendar is correct and that the places that he represented that he had gone were the places. We calculated the mileage and looked at the spreadsheets and
so
verified that.
Here, if we have the OA making a policy to not have authority to make, and you are saying today that the vehicle should only be used for official purposes, do we institute a new policy as of October 30th?
Well,
do you get the final say? Who gets the final say?
Well, I mean, I think it's pretty clear here that the law says you don't use it. I think it's very clear that there is no authority in the law that would have allowed OA to make this policy. And OA doesn't have executive power to make laws. I think it has to go back to the General Assembly if they want to have a change in the law.
OA is not audited here, do they?
I'd like to put a finer point on this issue of how it affects Jay Nixon.
Mm-hmm.
His office is, I'm sure, going to say that he has made no personal or political use of the vehicles. The reimbursement, they say, was voluntary. Are you here to say that you believe that he has made political use of vehicles? And
Here's what I will say. I will say that the law says you cannot use the vehicles for anything other than official use. Whether... you know, we're kind of in a gray area when I'm saying I want to push compliance with a policy that wasn't authorized in the first place. But the policy that OA has out there is not a legal policy. It can't be done. That said, we went ahead and looked at the lieutenant governor's calculations anyway. And when we would audit the attorney general's office, we would look at that as well. That said, you know, there should never have been this policy in the first place. It's clear what the law says, and the law says you can't use them.
There's an argument to be made that the vehicle provided to a statewide elected official is in effect just part of the normal compensation, like the governor gets a mansion.
Yes.
One time the state provided living quarters for the director of the corrections
mm-hmm.
department. Park directors, various park directors mm-hmm. have housing provided. Some of these, there's no explicit statutory authority for it. Why?
Well, but you see, it isn't. That's exactly right. And that's why we said if that is a part of what we should expect from our statewide elected officials, that they are given a car, then the General Assembly needs to make that clear. Right now, there isn't anything that says that is the case. I'm not going to say that it isn't that it was an unreasonable policy for OA to enact. You know, I'm not going to pass judgment as to a reasonableness or whether a statewide person that has to travel the state and may have official business and personal business both in the same place shouldn't be allowed to do something different. I'm not saying they shouldn't be allowed to. I'm saying if they are allowed to, it has to be in the statutes. The General Assembly is the one that makes that decision.
So when the Attorney General says that when he takes a state vehicle to a political event, he's doing it for security reasons, is that not a valid thing to say?
That is also not. And one thing I would hope that the General Assembly would do when they, if they look at this and change the law, is a tightening up of what we consider to be official use. Once again, we're talking about the reasonableness factor. Was it reasonable for the Attorney General to decide that an exception should apply? That may be true. The fact is, we're just not allowed to do that under the existing state law.
First of all, with regard to that policy, was this even a written policy?
No, it's not a written policy either.
So it was just
either.
A gentleman's agreement
yes.
between Kinder and LA.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
When I walked in, you were talking about Bill Webster. I thought I heard someone say.
Yes.
I missed that. How does this compare? Because that's been a claim that's been made that we're in Bill Webster territory.
Well, here's what I did. We pulled together all of the audit findings and recommendations based on any personal use of state resources. And they date back to, Governor Hearns and the first time the state airplane came about. Then we talk about it again with Governor Bond and, Governor Teasdale. The most recent time that we looked at use of state resources was the audit of Bill Webster. And I'm just saying that since that time, we haven't seen that as an issue until now. And now we've had it come up again in terms of vehicles, not the state airplane, not, you know, the printing or not anything like this. But what the difference is now, you know, what we had done in the past is we had said, wait, you used, you know, this for personal, and then we had to set some kind of a reimbursement, and I referred to it as more like restitution. We went back and said, oh, you shouldn't have done that, you know, pay this money. And that's really the way that we have handled this in the past, and that should not be the way that we should handle this. What we should do is we should say, we know these things are going to occur. We're going to have, you know, there's a different statute now for the governor, but so we, taking the governor out of it, we know that issues like this have always come up back to 1967, and yet we've never changed the law to allow some kind of a policy to be put in place. We just have made some adjustments or made someone pay something, or in this particular case, we put a policy out there in place that wasn't authorized.
Is your office going to draft a proposed bill for legislation?
Our office would certainly help the legislature with anything that we audit. Every time we put out a recommendation to the General Assembly, we are there to try to help with that. In this particular...
Why not draft a bill? I mean, other statewide officials have, the Secretary of State regularly files election bills and gets somebody to do some...
There's something that would be maybe a technical change. We would do that. We know what the fix needs to be on background checks. I probably wouldn't draft legislation on this because I don't know that what the General Assembly would want to do as a policy standpoint. I don't know whether or not they think that we should have statewide elected officials be able to be officially on duty all the time so that they can use a car, or we don't know whether they would say, absolutely, you can't do this, or maybe we want to have something for all employees or all department heads, or, you know, there are policy implications here that I wouldn't presume to try to advance.
What's your personal opinion? Do you think that statewide elected officials should be able to use cars for, one, private purposes, two, political purposes?
It's a hard question for me to answer, because when I came in, I looked at the statute and made a decision that said we don't use the state vehicles for anything other than official use, and we don't, and that's our stand here. However, I do understand... It being part of the reason that I don't is because when I travel to something that is official business in St. Louis, I'm going to set up personal business there as well, or political business there as well. I'm going to do that because I'm going to try to do three things at the same time. Once I've made the decision to do that, then I no longer have the option of driving the state vehicle, so I wouldn't. And so is it reasonable to have some type of a policy out there? It probably is reasonable.
Are you saying you're not using a state vehicle essentially at all?
No, I'm not using it at all. I've used the state vehicle one time. I went to Springfield to the Ebenezer Fire District and back when I delivered an audit that evening. Other than that, I do not use the state vehicle.
Because of this problem?
Because I always am going somewhere else. Correct.
There's a statement that's on the top of this white sheet, but could you just, again, I mean, would you say the remedy needs to be...
To fix this? Oh, well, the General Assembly, if they want to have a policy for statewide elected officials that is different from the current law, need to enact a different law.
Well, in other words, you say everyone needs to, needs to be a change, or everyone needs to start following these.
Correct.
I realize this is an audit of the Lieutenant Governor's office. I assume the Office of Administration has no formal or protocol obligation to be part of the response. Have you, in fact, had any response from the Office of Administration?
No, we haven't.
A technical question. You've got a low-numbered license plate as a state auditor. On what vehicle is that license plate stuck?
Okay. I have an official plate.
Yeah.
that is the old low number.
Right. Well, I haven't. The official state plate is on our official state vehicle, which is parked out here in the Senate lot.
But I take it state, if your employees are using that.
Yes, right. Currently, one of our auditors is using it to drive back and forth to St. Joseph, where we are doing the audit of St. Joe.
So if one of our listeners sees your government license plate there, it ain't Susan Monte.
No, it isn't. I actually have a personalized plate as well that is on my personal car. So, but it isn't. It doesn't say official state plate, official vehicle either. But.
What does it say? CPA?
No, it says number 4. It still says number 4, but it it says state auditor, number 4.
We have a state law that is being interpreted by at least 3 different ways. You've got Nixon saying, I don't have unofficial business. We have you saying,
yes.
I'm so concerned about unofficial business, I'm going to drive my personal car most of the time. And you have the lieutenant governor saying, I'm going to reimburse. You're not faulting any of those 3 opinions. You're saying that the problem is the legislation.
And that's right, because what I'm saying is in the past we have multiple issues come up where things have come up and we've just said, okay, well, yeah, just pay us for it. And when I said we need to have maybe a tightening or a clarification of what official use is, whether or not we can carve out exceptions to the law. The problem is, yes, if there's more than one way to interpret it and it's being done different ways and we've got different policies out there that don't conform with those, then there's an issue with the actual law itself.
Is there a problem with OA? I mean, if we had to point the finger at somebody, I know you don't want to point the finger at anybody, but if you had to point the finger at somebody, would it be OA for advising someone to use a policy which really is not authorized?
Well, yeah, in fact, that's true, because in this case, we can't say it was the lieutenant governor. The lieutenant governor went and followed exactly what OA told him to do. And if you looked at what had happened in the past, and we said when someone used something for personal, we made them reimburse, then, you know, that's one thing. OA just took it a step further and said, well, if we know in advance, go ahead and, you know, we'll just do it proactively as opposed to looking back.
Do you have a sense what the policy is in other states?
You know, I really don't. I have not looked at that.
Do you guys look at liability issues at all? Because obviously we're talking about stuff beyond just the mileage here. I mean, what happens if somebody runs over a little kid or gets hurt? Is that a workers' comp claim? Who's responsible
right.
for accidents
it,
of others?
Yeah, we did not look at that. Because once we came to the conclusion that the law doesn't allow it to be done this way. We didn't go beyond that to what if this would happen. Certainly those kinds of questions ought to be the questions that are answered when the General Assembly starts deciding what should be the policy, because those things all do come into effect. Luckily, we didn't have anything like that we had to deal with. So we kind of drew the line at looking at the statute itself.
Susan, can I get a copy of that background information
sure.
that you're referring to?
Sure.
I did have a question. The $1,800 overage that Kinder paid, is that he's been essentially using that overage for
right.
for his personal use of the car since you came up with this? Is that $1,800 the initial overage, or is that where it stands?
Yeah, that was our initial overage. I don't know where it stands now. I do know this: the lieutenant governor is no longer using the state vehicle.
Probably no way for him to make up.
They probably have to cut him a check, maybe. I don't know where. Yeah, I don't know where he stands right now with it. But I know that he is no longer using the state vehicle.
He no longer uses the state vehicle.
Correct.
So what is the status then of the $47,000 of the Attorney General?
We don't have any personal knowledge of that at all. I mean, that's obviously something that has transpired between the Attorney General's office and OA.
What should happen?
Well, usually in any of these instances, you turn in your documentation to OA, and they would handle whatever transactions, and we wouldn't be involved in that until whatever subsequent time where we're doing an audit.
The policy that they supposedly had between Kinder's office and OA, it wasn't written, but evidently they came to some agreement that there would be some annual reimbursement.
Right.
and that's not documented anyplace, is it?
Correct, that's not.
Does it make a difference then whether the reimbursement is every 3 years?
Right, exactly. I mean, there's a lot of different issues that would come up based on them having this type of a policy and putting it out there. The fact is we don't think there was any authority for making the policy, so we didn't go beyond. Once again, it didn't serve us to go beyond that and say, was this a reasonable policy or not a reasonable, because it's not allowed. If it's not allowed, it's not allowed. So hopefully, you know, that's another thing. When the General Assembly makes some decisions as to what they're going to do, I those are factors that they need to think about. Because, yeah. Anything else?